started recording, but it's okay because I can edit out stuff. Avoid legal snags by telling people they're being recorded. You are being recorded.
I'm being recorded.
Yes. Just all right. Heads up.
Duly right. Noted.
Okay, cool. Ready? I'm going to get started. All right. In 3, 2, 1, and hello, His Dark Materialists. This is Travis. Typically, you would have Alaric in this spot, introing the show and all those fun things. He's not here, however. He decided that he's going to go off with his family to, like, Disney World or someplace, leaving Joanna and I here to host the show. So, hello for me, and turning it over to Joanna. How are you?
It's so great to be back. It was weird. Yeah, it was so weird not being on.
Yes.
Like on last Monday. I mean, you know, granted, I was celebrating my 19th wedding anniversary, so that was awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But now I still feel like we're like a three-legged pony. No, we were already a three-legged pony. Two-legged pony.
That would be even weirder. No, we're like a two-legged stool.
Stool. Yes. We're like a two-legged stool. And it's kind of, I'm still acclimating.
Yeah. Yeah, last week it was super weird. Like, Alaric and I should not be allowed to do this without you. I mean, it was an all right show, but it could be so much better. And now it is. Actually, it's not because
now
it's
Alaric
better, but it's not the same kind of better.
It's
so we
better.
Need to all be on the same show.
It is. It's you get used to that, right?
You do. But and the thing is, like, it's me is the I am the constant between each week. And that's not fair to anybody. So we didn't get your opinion on last week's show. So what did you think?
Oh, my goodness gracious. That was so long ago. Now I'm all about this show.
Right.
Like right now, this show. I'm trying to remember what happened last week. I'm a terrible person. I can't remember.
Well, last week we had
The Lost Boy.
Exactly.
I remembered. Okay, I remembered. Sorry. Wow, I am so rusty. I had lots of thoughts. I really, really liked the episode a lot. I loved, you know, being able to see the Egyptians as they're moving north and having her have her little banter with Yorick. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was really cool to see the way she talked with John Fa to kind of get what she wanted. I love that she called him Lord Fa whenever she like wanted something and he knew it. And he was just like, he's like, I know you're playing me, but whatever. It was so cute. It was great. So I was watching it and I remember our episode when we talked about it the first time, mm-hmm. like when we talked about it in the book and we talked about how this would be. And I was like sitting under like a blanket and like waiting for how it was going to be. And I'll be honest, I was a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, it wasn't, right?
I was not like I was waiting. I just expected there to, like he was just laying there like pretty mm-hmm. much motionless and I guess I just felt like what was powerful in the book, I know it's not the book, but what was powerful in the book was this sort of really vacant calling for Radder,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and this sort of, you know, and the horror of it in the book was not, to me, it wasn't translated over into the show. Like I remember in the book, it said, it was like looking at, like, it would have been like looking at somebody without a face.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like that. Now, it was shocking. I mean, you know, she was obviously shocked and she had empathy and she was like, kind of like, oh, but I don't know. It didn't have the same like wrenching.
Yeah.
To me. What did was, and I can't help it, was like when Ma Costa was crying at the grave, like I was just like, whoa, what is with this show always making me like,
yeah
but I could, you know, that kind of thing, like that was really, that probably affected me more, I think,
mm-hmm.
than Billy's reveal.
Yeah, we said something similar last week that Ma Costa was what she was the anchor for that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was incredible. I kind of think that they were kind of dealing with the limitations of a child actor, you know?
Oh, right, because he's little.
Yeah, and I think there's only so much that he could be expected to do there, and it was you know, they had to make do with what they had, and I think from the changes worked. It wasn't the scene from the book. Right. It absolutely wasn't the scene from the book, but it still worked.
I would agree. Yeah, no, I would agree. It wasn't necessarily what I expected, mm-hmm. but I think that it still did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Which was to pull at your heart and make you like want to go rip Bullvanger out by the roots of it, you know, like snatch its weave is what you wanted to do to Bullvanger. Like,
you do want to snatch Bullvanger.
You do. Don't you want to snatch its weave? Oh my gosh, so much.
Exactly. And, you know, I have some similar concerns about this week's episode.
Let's discuss.
So I'm looking forward to discussing.
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's start at the beginning with Lyra entering Bullvanger. You know, as she's walking in, I was kind of immediately struck by just how stark they made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little pulled out of the show, because to me, I felt like I was watching their budget limitations as opposed to a story idea, you know, mm-hmm. like that felt like a set. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about like, you know, the movie when you're walking through like the big courtyard, and that's the way I read it in the book. So, you know, the narrow hallways, things along those lines kind of yanked me out of it. I just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be a bit of a Debbie Downer this week.
Yay!
Yeah.
You're so positive all the time.
Not this week.
It's okay. You know what? That's okay. That's okay. I think I support that 100%.
I appreciate that.
Yes. I, though, on the other hand,
mm-hmm.
really liked it.
Oh,
I like, I know that, you know, like it wasn't as corporate, you know, mm-hmm. I think we used that word when we talked about it
mm-hmm.
in the book, you know, and I think even in the movie, it was a little more, you know, it was more upscale sort of.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it was it felt like it was a facility in the middle of nowhere that was like a bunker.
For sure.
So
like, bunker was the perfect word for it.
Yeah. And so I felt like that's like, I'm not really sure you would be building this, like, you know, they had drop ceilings in the book and they had these like, you know, mural and I get the mural with the purpose of it, but I really did. I liked it. I felt like it gave you the exact mood of the place, which was stark and barren and terrible. And that's what is the name of Bullvanger again? It's like, Place of Evil or Garden of I don't know. It's like something terrible.
Place of
like
Evil, that. I think, is what it is.
Right?
Yeah.
And like no birds would sing, like, you know, mm-hmm. like in the, and that to me, I felt like it was I liked it. I felt like it flowed with what I thought of for like what it would or should look like. So.
Yeah. It's funny, like the way you say it, now that I think about it, it's more, I can imagine a magisterium that, going back to what I was saying about the budget, mm-hmm. is angry at Mrs. Coulter and it's like, oh yeah, you're not getting the cash for this that you want. You're right. Not getting the building from the movie. You're getting this. So.
Right. You had your penthouse and now you're having this.
Exactly.
Like this is what you get. Right, sure.
Exactly.
No, I do. After she's walking through mm-hmm. and we sort of accept like this is the Bullvanger and she you know, the week before she was processed,
right?
You know, like processed through.
Yeah.
And you know, back
to that, what did you think of that last week? Because when she was being processed, that was, I think, one of the worst. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It was so stark. I mean, she's standing there as exposed as she possibly can be.
Yeah.
And realizes mm-hmm. where she is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great way to illustrate just how terrible her situation was.
Oh yeah, no, and how absolutely helpless. Like
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Nothing more helpless than standing naked in a room with like nothing.
And like three people like looking at you like clinically.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, I you know, so I thought that was a great way to end it. Mm-hmm. And so then when she gets into the, she gets to the cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
and she walks in and she sees Roger, and I love it because it was all in the DL.
Yeah.
They did it just like the book, right? Like, yep. Like the little, the demons ran to each other and were like, keep it, like, be chill.
Right.
You know, and Lyra actually stared at him longer, but Roger was just like, you know, like, he would just kind of nod, like, uh-huh. And it was, yeah. So I appreciate that they, you know, that they did that. I think they played that well. I think they did that well. It was perfectly well done.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like only one way to do that scene, because that is exactly the way I imagined in the book. And mm-hmm. then that is exactly the way they did it in the movie. I mean, that scene can only be done one way. And yeah, it totally worked for me, especially like the mural in mm-hmm. on the far wall. So they think they're in a tropical island, I guess.
They're totally fools. Yeah.
What? We're where?
I love Roger too, because in the movie that Roger was a little more, you know, he was more passive.
Yeah.
And a little more like excitable. And this Roger, you know, he like knew what was going on. He played it the way he needed to play. And when she came in, he knew exactly what he needed to do. I thought it was great.
Yeah. This Roger is Ron Weasley to me. You know, he's got that same, you know, air of mischief about him. He's a little, he's smarter than, you give him credit for. I like this Roger a lot.
I do. And he's a little sarcastic. Like it's all the way at the end.
Yeah.
But at the end, well, I guess we'll talk about it at the end.
Right. But
I always want to jump, but yeah.
You're totally right. But then we had that girl who was taken to the lab.
Oh my God, Bridget.
Yeah. Like.
She was like, I didn't even have my dinner. She's like, can't I just eat? Come on. Just
last meal? Something?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And her little rabbit was like, you know, cowering behind her as it hopped and. She had those big glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just all, you know, she was just all wide eyed and it was, yeah, it was, it, I felt so bad for Bridget.
Yeah. My thing with that is I feel like this, and this is a problem that I've had with the show consistently, is that they keep undercutting the reveals that are coming later. Like I didn't need the foreshadowing for what was going to happen to Lyra mm-hmm. later. I didn't need that in the scene. Like, I don't get why they felt the need to like set that up here, you know?
Right. Right.
It frustrated me. And like I said, this is something that I've had I've said consistently since, Lord Boreal first went through the portal,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just, my concerns with the pacing on this show remain.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, I hear that. I think that's fair. I feel like also if people haven't read the book, that it helps them to maybe have a better sense of like what interscission really is or what severing is as they kind of walk her and they just kind of see a little bit of how it's going. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of is just it helps people that maybe haven't read the book.
To build the drama, to remind you bad things happen to children.
Right. Like we know, like we've internalized that after these podcasts, it's like, you know, it's a constant. But if you haven't read it, I don't think the urgency of it is as upfront. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, because like you're not, you don't know everything about the world. And so you're still kind of learning it as you go.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a reminder, like you said, like, oh yeah, hey, remember this thing. This thing's really bad. And this thing's probably going to happen again. Like that kind of thing.
Right. Right. It's
so
more
I
than
guess,
just a dank architecture and,
right.
and identical right. clothes. Bad things actually happen to you here.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. But yeah, so then something that popped out to me while they were taking out, though, is the that there's this sympathetic scientist, like that guy.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know how to feel about him.
Well, I wish I could, I don't remember or recall seeing his demon. And I kind of would have liked to have seen, like, well, I can't remember did they show his demon?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so. So I was curious because the other doctor, the one that he has like to drink with and he can't quite drink because he's morally debating, you know, what they're doing. Her demon is a fox.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, it's very fitting mm-hmm. for what she's doing. But like, I would have liked to have seen.
Is she the one who's capturing the kids in the town?
I don't know.
Because we kept seeing the fox demon.
Oh my goodness. Right? But that looks like a guy.
It did look like a guy.
Didn't it though? Like he looked like you know, yeah. more bulky like a guy. And yeah. she was pretty thin, but
it's kind yeah, of weird. I'm doubling up on demons already.
Right. Well, that's true. In the world of demons, you have like any demon of your pick.
Exactly.
Any animal hey, in the
we
world.
Both have foxes.
Look at
who
that.
Who would have guessed? Maybe they're soulmates.
Aw.
Yeah.
Do you think that happens?
That would be wonderful. You run into somebody who's got the same demon.
I love that.
That would be fantastic.
Or like my demon is the kind of demon that will always overpower my husband's demon. So like we're a good match because my demon is always going to be able to pin your demon down anyway till I get my way. So
your polar bear demon versus yes. his big marmoset.
That's right. Oh, but yeah, that guy, you know, that for me is like, well, why do we need sympathetic anybody in Bullvanger?
Right.
Like, why do we need anybody to say, like, to have questions or to feel like they're not? Like, one of the things I appreciated in the book was they didn't give a F, right? Yeah. Like, they were just, like, annoyed that the fire alarm went off. Why are you disturbing my work? I've got stuff to do. Like, what are you doing? And so I really don't feel like there was a need to have a sympathetic Bullvanger employee.
No, they're bad people.
Yeah.
At the place of evil.
Right. And just maybe. One, like, doesn't, you know.
No. No.
It's like, what is that one guy going to do anyway?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I kind of didn't need it.
No.
But I guess, I don't know why they did it. I guess for effect.
Yeah. So, then we had the fire drill.
Again, yes.
Which went well. I liked the fire drill. Lyra tossing the snowballs at the, who in my head is an auntie from what's
Handmaid's.
Exactly.
I love number one that they at least had an orderly list.
Yes.
Like they were reading off the kids' names and they were all in lines. Like it was much more organized than my teacher heart could just kind of relax for a minute. I was like, okay.
Yeah, they didn't have that disorder that they had in the book.
Right. Which I actually. While visually, I was like, whoo, you know, but like, it makes more sense that if they were disorderly, because, you know, it's one of the reasons why the doctors don't want to show Mrs. Coulter, like, all the crap that's happening. It's like, let's only show her the good stuff. And so that was part of the disorder. And it's part of how she could get away for so long. It felt to me like for how orderly they already were, one or two snowballs wouldn't have gotten them as riled up for as long as maybe they needed.
Yeah, because that was like the whole, you know, the whole shtick in the book was that they didn't know what to do with the kids, really. Mm-hmm. And Lyra was able to take advantage of that.
Right. Like it feels, you know, and later on, like they all, it's like an army, right? Like they stand at the edges of their bed and everything's neatly made. Like, and I don't think that that's how it would have been in the book. I didn't get that feel from it. But I also, I feel like what they were trying to have it come across as was basically like a prison.
Yeah.
And so then that makes sense for them to have it like that. But I felt like it probably should have been a little more disorderly for them to have gotten as far as they did without being seen or sort of noticed.
Yeah.
But I did love that she hit that woman right in the face.
I know.
I was like, yeah. She was just like, whoop. It was great.
Lyra's got an arm.
She does.
It's so great. Then they go into the room where the demons are being held.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, however, it was missing a character. Rather. Kaisa wasn't there.
Oh yeah, Kaisa didn't let him, right, because they were never like out. It wasn't an outside room like this in the book. Mm-hmm. It was like a separate space.
Yeah.
Right, and this was sort of like kind of connected through corridors.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Well, sort of, because they had those outdoor corridors.
Oh right, right, and those big gates opened.
Yeah.
When somebody came out and they went in.
Right. So, yeah, there was no Kaisa, and I was a little disappointed to... I missed Kaisa. I liked Kaisa, you know, being the little, like, breaking and entering guy.
Well, I did. I number one, I missed the magic mm-hmm. of it. Like, literally the magic of
right.
of how in the book, you know, it was such an amazing way for them to open the lock was when, you know, in the book he blows the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that. And so I was kind of sad that that wasn't a part of it. But it's also... You know, seeing him lets Lyra know that the witches are near and they're coming.
Yeah.
Do you right. know what I mean? Like there's yeah. and so
there is hope in right. the form of Kaisa.
Right. And not that Lyra isn't brave enough to have done it on her own, mm-hmm. just, you know, saying I'm gonna get us out and I know the Egyptians, I'm hoping that they're able to make it up and get there. But like part of what really emboldened her was the fact that when she saw him, she was like, they're coming.
Yeah.
Like, they're totally coming. And I have this whole, you know, this whole plan now that I'm going to set in motion.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I did. I missed him, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But for the sure. demons, they did a really good job, I thought, with the demons in there. They looked so sad.
Oh, my God. Bridget's rabbit was just banging its head on the wall.
You know, story about that. One time I was at the zoo with a friend in the zoo here in DC in the winter, and there was a giraffe outside doing the exact same thing.
Oh.
And that has stuck with me for, I guess it's 20 years now. More than 20 years now, good Lord. But yeah, the giraffe repeatedly bonking its head against a wall.
Oh.
And that's what I saw when I'm watching the rabbit. And yeah, it was sad in real life, and it was sad in this show. It's a tough image.
It was, and it was, you know, and it was really. I think what was powerful too was like when they see them, and I love when they say they're like, "Well, the demons are all still here."
Mm-hmm.
Like, where?
Where are the kids?
Where are the children? Like, yep. Where are they? And, you know, later on we get an answer to that, which in the book we never get
right.
an answer. Like, we never get an answer to that. And so I feel like later in the episode they kind of close that up a little bit for you
mm-hmm.
to kind of take it, you know, just like we're going to tie that little bow up and put it away.
Yeah, because, like, the demons kind of just flew off trying to find their kids
right.
in the book. Yeah. Right.
But these guys were all still there.
Right.
Well, they didn't right, and they didn't free them either, which made me a little sad.
Yeah.
Like they didn't free the demons.
Yeah. So, but. Moving back to our world, we had Will.
Yeah.
Watching a video of his pop.
Oh, it was so sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like watching some C-SPAN video of like maybe not C-SPAN because that's like political stuff, like. But you know what I mean? Like just watching this little, like,
it was like a BBC, like yeah. little like interview with his pop before he went somewhere.
Oh my gosh. And he was so cute. I mean, both of them, it's mm-hmm. Andrew Scott, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that right? He was just, you know, playing this. It was cool to just see a little bit of his character, pre disappearing.
Right.
Because, you know, cause he was very like, he was joking and laughing and mm-hmm. and the camera, you know, who is very like light.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see then how, because that's who Will's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And that he's, and so that's kind of, I'm thinking, you know, that's how he's picturing his father. And I'm interested in to see how they're going to counter that with whomever he is, whoever he becomes.
Right.
Now that he's not, you know, he's been 13 years since he's been in his own world.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to imagine that, like, what would, like, 13 years away from your kids, you know, like mm-hmm. the first, you know, couple months, maybe not be so bad.
True. True.
But, you know, like 13 years, like that's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, and then to be lost, like completely disconnected from your entire world, lost. What he becomes has got to be really interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited just to see, because that was as much for us as it was for Will.
Yeah.
You know, for us to see that. And so I want to see what they do with it. God, I hate those guys in the car, man.
Ugh.
It's so... Last week, you guys were able to talk about Will's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really appreciated... I felt like they handled her... her mental illness or, you know, whatever, like that, I think they handled it really well. Mm-hmm. You know, it was believable. It wasn't overly done. You know, it wasn't a caricature. It wasn't a pity story either. You know, she was aware of a lot of, like, she knew how she was. And so she, like, I wouldn't have come, but I knew, you know, and so I thought they did a really, really good job with her.
I agree.
It upset me that Boreal made his presence known to upset her on purpose, like to kind of throw her off. Like, it made me feel yucky. But this guy just sitting there, like, I don't know. Like, he has zero vested interest except that Boreal's paying him.
Right.
You know, and so they're sitting there, and then I think it's Tom, right? Tom's like, why haven't you gone in yet? Oh, you know, God. And he's like, she knows I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I don't know. And he'll go in soon. He's biding his time to go in. And I don't know. It's just kind of, so he's never been in before.
No.
They've just been watching.
I think he's gone in. Like, I got the impression, I mean, last week when she had the, when she kind of, you know, had a fit because she noticed that things were out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And, so yeah, they've been in before, but, not sure, you know, why they're not going in now, except to be maximally creepy.
Right. Right. And yeah. I felt that same way last week. I felt like, you know, it really happened, but that it was easy to play it off as her paranoia and for Will to play it off as like, kind of like, okay, like, you know, but I felt like she really was noticing it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that it was something that happened. So,
right.
Yeah. So I just, I don't know.
Yeah. Then the guy with the he's got a mustache.
I know. It's like, ew, he's all greasy and weird.
Yeah. Like he's a little over the top. He's a little cartoonish.
Yeah. I hope he's the one
he's gotta be.
I hope he is.
He's gotta be.
I almost spoiled it.
You did, but you stopped yourself.
But I didn't. Yes.
Wow, you like dropped one of those green refrigerator bags over what you were going to say to prevent spoilage.
I bet, I wonder, I hope. I'm going to, I hope it's him.
yeah, me too. Looking forward to the cat.
Yes. But they cut back, you know, as quickly as they cut to Will and cut to that world, they cut right back.
Yep. Yeah. Like, Will got like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about Will? Mm-hmm. Last week I said that he looked like one of my daughter's friends. Actually, he looked like several of my daughter's friends. And I expected, when I told my daughter, because unfortunately she doesn't listen to the show, she's a monster, that when I told her that, she's like, let me see. So we immediately went to YouTube and I pulled up a clip of him and she actually agreed with me.
Oh. Like,
oh my God, I want him to be my best friend.
I really like the voice you did for her.
Oh, thank you.
And I would do that to her face every time she, like, you should just like mock everything she says in that voice. Let me see. I love it. That was great. Let me see it.
And the thing is, she'll never listen to this, so it's okay.
You're going to mock her the whole time.
Exactly. I might do an entire show in her voice. Whatever. So we're back to Lyra. And we've got the kids are sleeping, but they're woken up. What are they woken up by?
Mrs. Coulter.
Mrs. Coulter and that airship.
Yeah, they need some kind of like electric car, quiet engine. They wake everybody up everywhere they go. Like, people know when they're coming. Like, it's terrible.
It's like
they could see the monkey.
I know.
Yeah, they could see it. She's like, is it her? I can see the monkey. And I was like, what? How close are they?
Exactly. You don't see that monkey. You're lying.
But they were scared.
They were terrified.
You know, like that I think was well played. Like they were all trying to get, you know, in order and like, oh my gosh, he's coming. And it was terrible when they were like, make it like, try to be good and try to be in order. So take a boy this time.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like it was, that was like, oh man.
Yeah. Very, very like prison rules.
Yes.
You know, and not what you want to see like 8-9 year olds doing.
No. And then they hide Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
And homegirl
had some upper body strength.
What? Look, do you remember that like president's physical fitness test? And that you had those stick, those like little things, and you had to like put them in the notches and go up.
Yep.
And like, and go back down.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, there was that meta human who could do it like five times, like up and down. And you're like, well, I could hang there for like 2 seconds. And then I was like, poof. Like, I don't know how Lyra.
And it made a little poof on the ground when you hit, right? Like the Roadrunner.
And then the gym teacher would just sort of hang their head in shame and disgust that you couldn't do that because, you know, what fourth grade, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Those tests.
Do they still have to do that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I should ask my children, but instead I'll ask the audience. If anybody's who's listening knows that if kids still have to do that President's Physical Fitness Challenge, let us know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That was wild. But I'm sorry, go on.
No, it's just so she's hanging there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how are you hanging?
A while.
A long time.
Yes.
And then there's the creeper monkey.
Yep.
And and that was, you know, I knew that they wouldn't find her.
Right.
But it was that, you know, but it was like, he was so close to finding her like every time that you're just kind of like, you know, they do a good job at building up.
They really did.
That suspense. And again, maybe
for expected to like pull up the blanket, you know, a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then come on, monkey. And then
pull that angry, like, wah, 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 you know, like getting all crazy because they.
Yeah.
But I guess for, you know, again, for somebody who hasn't read the book, that would have been a very, very suspenseful moment because they wouldn't know whether or not that would happen.
Right.
You know, right. So
is that where she gets captured?
Right.
But I loved Mrs. Coulter's, like, when she pops back in, one more thing. Right. You guys are doing a great job. Just wanted to tell you.
Good going. I know. Good, nice corners. Like, you know, tight corners on the bed. Great job.
Exactly.
It was so weird.
Exactly. You just popped back in.
I know. And she was, like, complimenting them on, like, how well they took care of themselves.
Job. Yeah.
I was like, what is that? That's that same weird, like, ultra feminine or hyper feminine, like, thing with her, where it's like, even though you're in Bullvanger and you're in prison, girls, you shouldn't be a mess, and let's just make sure that you know everything's neat and proper. And it's such a weird dynamic.
But if you think about it, that is the whole point of Bullvanger, right? Is to eliminate sin,
right?
And cleanliness next to godliness and all those things, sure. You know, they're trying to make people, you know, better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're fans of Firefly, you know exactly what that does to people. So, you know,
yes.
So jumping forward to the Egyptians and Lee on the cliff. I'm going to let you go first on this one. What'd you think?
What, that the sled almost fell?
Yeah.
And that he almost went down with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, there was a part of me that was like, you know better. Like, come on, Egyptians.
Exactly.
Although in fairness, they are water people.
That's true.
This very well may be the first time that they had to traverse over like literal glacier, you know, crevice, large gaps in rock. Like, so yeah. But it was that fun little like jump scare of like, oh no, you know, I thought maybe somebody would go down.
I was convinced somebody was going to go down.
Yeah, I thought somebody was going to go down. I'm not going to say I was disappointed somebody didn't go down because that's kind of a terrible thing to say. I was a little disappointed that at least the sled didn't go down.
Like somebody going down and like doing that Wilhelm scream would have been just Mwah, perfect. Yeah. But no, the Egyptians but the are sled awful going, engineers. Exactly.
Like, everything has to burst into flames. So it falls down. It's just, that was amazing.
Exactly. Yes. But yeah, the Egyptians are not known to be good engineers. We know that now. Right. And, but this is another one of those scenes that I wish they hadn't done. Because I like in the book when the Egyptians just show up. And... Mm-hmm. You know, out of nowhere, Egyptians ex machina. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And here, we know they're on their way. You know, now mm-hmm. we know that just took away the impact of that scene.
It really did.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think, you know, part of what was so great in the story building in the book was that when those Samoyed traders, you know, ambushed the camp. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going down, and you see John Fogg go down, and you see all these people go down in the book, and then that's it. You have
until
no idea.
Until they show up again.
Until they show up.
You have no idea.
That's right. And there was something really, you know, powerful about that. And part of it was Lyra's kind of eternal hope. Mm-hmm. You know, she always has this, like, you know, this will happen. This will be good. And, like, you know, we'll get through this. And so, yeah, I think I would agree with you. Yeah. I feel like there was a little bit of a, you know, it's okay to not know that or see that.
Yeah.
Because then you get the, the rousing, like, wah, yay. Cause they, you know, they come in, they, which you
Yorick
get.
Shows up.
Yeah.
Cause like and you do, comes out of nowhere and he starts like swatting people. And that didn't happen.
I know it. Yeah. So I hear that.
Yeah. So next we've got the intercision scene.
That got me.
Did it?
It did. Okay. I don't know why. I really don't. Maybe it's because I'm tired and it's like close to Christmas break and my defenses are down. I don't know. But like, you know, when they put her in there.
Yeah.
At first, and she's just like, you don't know who I am. Like, you know, but when she starts and then she starts to scream. And yeah. I just really do hate hearing children screaming for like help. I don't like to hear it. It's just disturbing for me. But then, you know, Daphne Keene does such a great job. She's so convincing that she's frantic and she's so convincing that she's, you know, like almost hysterical. Yeah. And I really felt like when Ruth Wilson came in, she nailed it. Mm-hmm. Like her reaction to me, like nailed it. And it was, I think, dare I say, almost better than Nicole Kidman's. I know. What? I know. But there was something about the way that she reacted that felt so real to me. In a way that was earned that it wasn't earned in that movie for Nicole Kidman, but the way that Ruth Wilson has been playing this character with these small bits of regret and these small bits of like longing and wanting to be who she really can't be for Lyra.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It hit me. Yeah. Like I was kind of like, you know, like my breath was a little taken away and I don't know. I thought it was really well done.
Okay.
What do you think?
I did not have the same opinion. I mean, firstly, like the intercision thing machine looked like the racist detector from Watchmen. So that
the pod?
Yes. So that pulled me out of it right away. So I'm just like, oh my God, it's the pod. I'm waiting to see the looking glass come out of it, you know? It's
just here's like some Nine Inch Nails in the background.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then I was kind of disappointed with the way it happened. Because it just happened. They called her name and she went in.
Yeah.
We didn't have the whole, you know, hiding in the drop ceiling scene where she's pulled out. Even the hiding under the table scene that she did in the movie. Right. There was the tension that pulled her in there. The because what I thought was powerful about that scene was that the scientists were doing it because they were awful people.
Right.
They were trying to hide their incompetence from Mrs. Coulter.
Yes.
So they were going to, you know, basically murder this kid. Mm-hmm. And this was just like part of doing business. Let's right. just get Lizzie. And I didn't feel the same tension or intensity. So I remember when we did that show, you know, we were pretty horrified by that whole scene. You know, the way Pullman wrote that scene hit on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, while I do understand the horror of the child screaming, and I do think Daphne Keene did a great job, you know, interpreting that, I just didn't feel the same levels of revulsion that I felt reading that scene. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, it just lost its power for me. You know, because I think there were like three, it hit on like three or four different levels in the book. And here it's just that. I mean, we even had, you know, sympathetic scientists again.
Again.
Should we do this?
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
Mm-hmm. You're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. And maybe what was more, maybe what impacted me more was just Ruth Wilson's reaction to it.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. The urgency of covering up the trauma and the horror of him touching her demon in the book,
yeah,
is undercut. I would agree with that. And even the fact that she says, "You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am."
Yeah.
Mrs. Coulter. And then she yells mother. And it's like, I don't think you would have needed, again, you don't need him to be questioning, and you don't need her to be saying those things. What made that seem powerful was the imminent danger.
Yes.
And her realizing, Mrs. Coulter realizing, oh my God, that's Lyra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like Lyra knew what was going to happen. And I thought the performance of the voice actor for Pan in mm-hmm. this scene was really good. You know, when he kept like yelling, like, Lyra, do something. He needed to do her to do something. And again, going back to the fact that he's a part of her. So that's Lyra desperately trying to find a way out too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I thought was really well done, but yeah, like you said, she didn't need to have to say, she shouldn't have needed to say all those things.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she was in peril should have been enough.
Agree. I agree. I have a question or an observation.
Indeed.
Is there anything about that intercision machine that could possibly keep a demon from shifting a shape? Because there were holes, and couldn't Pan have like turned into like a little wasp and like,
yeah,
like, do you know what I mean?
I think we may have touched on that in the last, when we did the movie.
Well,
I don't think we came to any kind of conclusion then either.
Okay.
Because I think maybe the guess was that I thought maybe there was electricity.
Mm-hmm.
But there couldn't be, because if Lyra accidentally touched that, you know, that kind of ends that experiment really quickly.
True.
So, yeah, I don't know why he didn't just like turn into a moth and get over to her side.
Maybe it's just like fight or flight or freeze and you freeze. I don't know. I feel like that also probably happens so quickly, you probably don't really have time. Like, the only reason that didn't happen immediately was because, you know, the doctor was
holding him.
Yeah, holding it up.
Yeah.
So, just all right.
All right.
Yeah, he was pointless.
Yeah. I'm glad he gets... We'll get to that.
Yes. We are so like bloodthirsty today. We wish people would have fallen and like just cut that guy. Just cut that guy.
Cut him low. All right. Mrs. Coulter's bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this scene, I don't know. So I really liked it. I feel like they are still trying to play a sympathetic Mrs. Coulter, you know, in both the movie and here in the show. I wanted to keep you. I couldn't. Asriel had plans and, you know, she made these weird excuses too. Yeah. I wasn't equipped. I'm thinking, how old were you when you had her?
I mean, not that young.
Yeah, right? Like, she couldn't have. Lyra's, I mean, it was 12. 11. Yeah, it was like 11 or 12 years ago. So yeah. It's like, you're easily, I mean, I don't know. She was at least in her late 30s, maybe right. Early 40s, right? So I'm like, so she wasn't equipped. It wouldn't have been best for you or me. And I'm like, that's such a cop out.
Let's be fair. Not being equipped could mean that because she was married. And
true.
She wasn't prepared to deal with what society would do to her.
Right. I could see that, because up until that point, they didn't know what was going to happen. And then, of course, later on, after Asriel has her,
right,
he offs Mr. Coulter.
Right.
But I don't know why they keep trying to, I guess to make her more complex.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, the fact is, you know, it's kind of nice to know there is a little humanity in her, mm-hmm. where she can say, has whatever weird connection for her daughter that she has, she still kind of wants to have it.
Right.
In the book, it's pure manipulation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's pure manipulation, and it's disgusting. But in here, it's those moments where she loses control and thinks for a second she can maybe actually have something. Mm-hmm. And then she snaps herself back, you know, like when she was upset and crying, then she's like, oh, I can't believe I just lost control. Like, I have to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I don't hate it. I don't hate that they make her sympathetic. But I don't know that I love it either.
Yeah, I don't. It's another thing that I don't need, you know? Like, I like that Ruth Wilson wants to bring complexity to the character. Mm-hmm. Cool. But I don't think that we need it with her. She's an awful person. Mm-hmm. Full stop. Done. I'm perfectly content accepting her as just a bad person.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, because then, I mean, we're reminded that she's a bad person when she's like, if you have any friends who are here, you know, I'll save them. And Lyra's like, Billy Costa's dead. Like, he's dead. And he's like, well, that is unfortunate. I mean,
that was so weird.
Omelets and eggs.
I know.
Like, come on, man.
I know. No, for sure. You're sure. But it was just like, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I think that for me though, that was that was what set Lyra off when she's like, oh no, this is, I'm putting an end to this. Mm-hmm. And, first time in this whole series, because I'm a big Lyra fan. Don't get me wrong. I love what Daphne Keene is doing with her role. I like her, but at no time have I really believed that she's Lyra Silvertongue. You know, like she's never been the kid, because in the way they've been playing her, to me, I feel like her honesty and directness has been what's been like at the forefront, not so much her lies.
Right.
But the way she manipulated her in this bedroom, like this is the first time we saw it.
Yeah. And I think it's sort of like parts in the book where after certain events happen, she kind of comes to new conclusions about where she stands and who she's with. I mean, and literally in the scene, Mrs. Coulter says, you have to choose a side.
Right.
Like now you have to pick who you're going to stand with. Yep. And she does. So yeah, no, I do think that this is where she actually was coming out in that way that I think you and I were both talking about before. It's like, she's not quite that, she plays her, man. She plays her like a fiddle.
It's like, well, here it is. You know, like, oh, nice. Nicely.
Now, did she put that in her, did you see her in the last episode have the spy fly one? Did she always have it on her?
She always had it on her, but we don't see why she just randomly had it in her prison clothes.
Right. Because in the book, and I know it's not the book, but in the book, mm-hmm. you know, she purposely sticks it in her boot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she has that. And then that's why she has it on her when she's in Bold Anger.
Yeah. We never see her hide it.
Right.
In this, like we just, she's got it.
Because did we see, and I really don't remember, did we see Yorick make the second case for it? Do you know what I mean? Like, we saw
Fardar Khorum when he captured the spy fly.
He just bent it and he
put it in that box that just happened to look exactly like the lithiometer case.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, I mean, it was like this time she's just bling.
Yeah. So, and I'm being a little nitpicky. I'm not sure why. But no. I'm picking up on your negative vibe. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so then she escapes. The spy fly pops out, freaks everybody out.
This is culture goes straight down.
Straight down.
Like straight down.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it like attacked or touched her.
Maybe she's got a phobia.
Maybe. It was like
terrified of spy fly.
That bug was like, and she was just, and I was like, oh, I guess it stung her in the face. Did she have high
blood pressure? Why did you fall?
No, like it was. That? I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah. But yeah. So then Lyra, you know, dashes out, and then grabs a fire extinguisher, does the stereotypical, I'm going to break the controls, which will lock the door. Always works.
Yes.
Always works.
It does always work.
It unlocks doors or locks doors.
Yes. And I think it even works even better when you're screaming at the top of your lungs.
What was that?
That was so, they were just like, rah, 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 rah. And I thought, oh my God, like, is this just showing you how they're alike? They're raging from two different places about, you know what I mean? Like it was just, yeah. It was an odd, yeah. It was like, I got it
from Mrs. Coulter because we've, you know, all the way back to when she did the monkey style kung fu on on what's his name, like Tony and his buddy. We, you know, we've known that she's had that animalistic tendency, mm-hmm. you know, but here when she just kind of like lets loose and she's like screeching like a howler monkey, and then Lyra's doing it back at her.
Yeah.
And then Pan's like, oh, slow down.
I know. He's like, all right, you got it.
Exactly.
And I get Lyra's too. Like Lyra's, I mean, it's both out of like frustration,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. her, you know, Lyra's frustration at like, I cannot believe this woman's my mother. I can't believe like I'm yeah. in this predicament again. And then Mrs. Coulter is like, I can't believe my daughter did that again. Like,
I know.
She left me again.
Yep.
So I'm surprised, like that was a little odd there.
Yeah.
But they would just have that screaming match, and then she runs into the room, right? Doesn't she run in, does she run and get dressed first? Or does
she ran to get Roger and the crew first, who are already getting suited up.
That's right.
And then she sends Roger in to rescue the other kids.
Yes, she goes to get the kids that are in that, and then she goes to get to destroy the machine.
Yeah, because she has like my favorite line when she's like, do what I do best, cause chaos.
I love when Pan says when they go into that room, and Pan says, I remember they said if you leave that door open, it would fritz it.
Yeah.
And then Lyra says, so let's fritz it.
It
cracked me up. I was like, what an... I guess that was like a, you know, like some kind of battle cry, like, let's fritz it. And man, did they fritz it.
They really did.
Way better than like the book.
Yeah.
The book was more just like a kind of a little fire, this was like things were sucking in and bending and
right.
It was crazy.
It's like she had like there's like the singularity opened and all these things get sucked in. I was half expecting Bullfanger to get sucked in after them, like Poltergeist style.
Right. And then I love that eventually Pan's like, this is going to blow. Like, we got to go. Because they're just watching it, like, you know, break into itself. And there's like, but it was a great explosion too. Like when she gets around the corner, that was great.
Well done. Very well done. So then you've got Mrs. Coulter trying to escape from her locked bedroom, and the monkey climbs up to the top, Die Hard style. And then Mrs. Coulter's in the thing, Die Hard style. But I'm left to assume Mrs. Coulter climbed up that thing like the monkey.
I think so.
Yeah.
She would have had to.
Because then when she came out of it, she landed like the monkey.
She was, yeah. She landed here like she was all like on the desk.
Yeah.
Kind of squatting.
Yeah.
It was an odd.
Now, part of me, I wonder, there's something about Mrs. Coulter and how she identifies with that golden monkey. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I also think about, you know, like the actor who's playing Lord Boreal. And how he's chosen to make his performance more, you know, serpentine and everything, which I appreciate. I'm not sure if this doesn't have, if there's not some kind of in-story reason for like her extreme association with the monkey that I like it. Like, I feel like there should be some reason, like she is monkey-like.
Right. I mean, and that's the whole reason demons become what they become, like what they choose,
right,
is because it's a part, they are defining a part of you,
yeah,
externally.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it makes perfect sense. But she, I don't know. Yeah. That was nutso when she, and she, you know, jumping down and then she just sat there. She just sat there on the desk, and then it was like, well,
with her arms over her knees, like a monkey. Yeah.
I mean, at least in this time, they actually, like, we saw how she got out.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, and I think even in the book, you're just like, she's attacked by the spy fly, and then it's, you know.
She's out.
Like, who knows how she gets out. And this at least gives her some agency.
Right.
You know, which, great. Like, she, you know, she finds her own way out. I think one of the things I love about that part, then, is after she gets out and she comes around the corner, she sees, we're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
She's,
yeah. And yeah, actually I jumped ahead cause I started talking about how she jumped out of the thing, but yeah, we had the kids like running through the hallway and then Egyptian show up.
Yes.
The sympathetic scientist is there trying to persuade the kids to like go back in.
Yeah.
And then Ma Costa rolls up.
Oh man.
She's like, you know, Billy Costa, and he's, you know, and then what does he say? I was just following orders. Wrong.
Oh no. Oh my God. And I wrote Ma Costa. Damn. Because she broke his neck.
She was breaking necks.
Like, damn. And then out of nowhere, Lee scores me. I was like, double damn. Because he's like, and then Serafina Pegula. Just come.
She's like Quicksilver.
Holy shiz.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. She's just all, and I was like, what? My brain exploded.
Just like exploded. Killing fools.
Oh my God.
You know, the woman with the fox demon, she's just like, get that one. Save the children, you know, kill everybody else. And then Serafina Pecola just like, nope, kills everybody else, stabs her. Like, wow.
Which is why if Kaisa, if Kaisa would have been there, it would have made, you know, like we only see Serafina Pekka that little bit of time. And she says to Fardacorum, she's on their side.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think it would have taken away from the moment for them to know that, you know what I mean? I think it would have made that moment then like, it would have felt more like vindicated, like, yeah, here she comes. And, you know, she's doing this thing versus just kind of like, oh. Like there she is.
Right.
But she was amazing. I mean, I am not detracting from that moment at all.
Oh yeah.
That was fantastic.
She was awesome. She was awesome.
You were right. She was totally like quick. It was like Quicksilver.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That was amazing.
So again, you know, the tiny courtyard frustrated me because, you know, it's funny. I'm calling this out because somebody asked me on online this week, do you guys talk about the differences between the books and the show? I'm like, oh yes.
Oh yes.
And now that when I watched this week, my thought was, oh, I'm definitely going to be talking about the differences, because the courtyard again bugged me, because I love the scene in the book when the kids are all lined up, the Tartars are all lined up, and then they're wolves. You know, you've got to have a broad vista for that. And this just reminded me of like 90s syndicated television, like, you know, Super Force or some Canadian sci-fi show. And I just was not a fan of, I totally sound like a nitpicking nerd, but like, I'm not a fan of how it was staged. It just felt so limiting.
Well, and you know, comparing things to the book, that was an epic. That's an epic, like, battle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty big, right?
Yeah, and it's basically how we see that the Egyptians are like to be taken seriously after what just happened to them. They just went through what should have been, you know, a battle where, you know, we saw John Fa and all these other guys go down. And then they all come back and then they win in a similar environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just, it felt too small to me.
Yeah. Because then Serafina Pekkala, as awesome as that was, literally took out everybody in like one foul swoop.
Right.
So it was,
Serafina Pekkala instead of like a bunch of witches shooting their arrows.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yeah, it was, I guess it's the limits of the budgets of a television budget as compared to a movie budget and, you know, our budget free imaginations. But, you know, I wasn't too keen.
I will say, though, that I totally dig whatever tattooed or like, I don't know if it's like burned in and it's like scarred. I don't know what it is. Those designs all over Serafina Pekkala's body. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. I don't know. You didn't mean, but it's like raised. I can't tell.
Yeah.
Kind of like Drax, but pretty. Right. Like it's like, you know, like it's like weird, like scarred art. I don't know.
But yeah, it's really beautiful.
It's really, really beautiful. They put some money into that, I think.
And I'm sure there's a story behind all of that, behind each of them. Because, I mean, they've done such a good job with, like, building the world up. So I'm sure that there are all kinds of backstories, you know, elements to that too.
Yeah.
But then we've got Mrs. Coulter in that scene. Back to the book.
Yeah.
We had, like, this, like, third-level fight. You know, so the kids escaped. Then we had that's level one. Then we had level two where the Egyptians and the Tartars are fighting. You could even add a third level in between there, but when the witches show up. So then the next level, though, is like during the escape when Mrs. Coulter is trying to get Lyra and, you know, her last ditch effort to get Lyra. In this, that's not what happens. And I was sad.
I was too. It was her peeking around a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this look like she sees Ma Costa, I think it was Ma Costa hugging Lyra.
Yeah, Lyra was hugging the kids, like taking care of the kids.
Oh, yeah, she was hugging Bridget because Roger had gotten them to come with him somehow, had gotten them to let's go.
Yeah.
And then there was this weird look of like regret or self-pity or I couldn't tell. Was she irritated? Was she jealous? I couldn't tell. I couldn't read her face.
I didn't see it as irritated. To me, she just looked like sad and defeated.
Like defeat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had written down like regret, defeat, self-pity. Like what is she feeling there?
None of those are Mrs. Coulter feelings.
No, no.
So I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, because the part of the power of it is that part of the threat is that she'll never stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like she'll never stop. She's always going to come for you.
Yeah.
Spyfly, grabbing you back into her sledge. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so it was a very resigned move.
Right.
That didn't
it wasn't
quite
even
fit.
Like a strategic retreat.
Right.
It's like,
right.
I'll get you next time. Mm-hmm. No, this was just like, and walks away.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a hard time. I wasn't really sure why they did that.
Yeah.
But after that, they cut over to the balloon.
They did.
Right?
And the Egyptians just let her go.
They just let her go.
They wave bye-bye.
Bye. It was like the Wizard of Oz. They were like, bye.
Yes. You've got somewhere else to go.
What?
You're going to send her off to go to the land of ice bears?
Oh, man.
By herself with just like Lee and another bear and Roger? I mean, Roger's got a cutting wit, but I wouldn't
use that. Right, right.
Come on, Ma Costa.
I know. No, it's you. You know, the reason they're even up there is because it was an escape.
Yes.
It was an escape from the sledge. It was an escape from the big battle. And they get her and they get York and they get on there and they're just trying to get away. And in that other things then happen. But it's like, this was like, you know, we're off to see the wizard.
Yes.
It really was.
There's no place like home, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, just come on.
There was a very dear moment where like Lyra and Roger were like cheek to cheek and were just like, it was really cute. You know what I mean? They were just like, aw.
It was cute.
And that was.
It was way too cute.
It was pretty cute. Yeah, it was probably too cute.
Yeah, I was just not happy. And there was just no tension. And then they didn't set Bullvanger on fire.
I know.
I wanted flames.
I was sad.
You don't walk out of that place and leave it intact.
I know.
Set it on fire.
Yeah, it was, you were to raise that to the ground.
To the ground.
To the ground.
Yep. So then we've got the Egyptians making their long walk back to their boats. And John Fa and Ma Costa, what's up?
Okay, so I have to be honest here.
Okay.
About 8 minutes to the end of the episode, my house blew a fuse.
Oh no.
So by the time we got everything back up, we had to do our podcast.
Oh no.
I'm going blind.
Okay.
I'm running blind.
Okay, so
I got as far as Serafina and Lee having their conversation.
Which was a good one.
Which I was glad. I was really glad they had it.
Yes.
I like that it showed Lee's like hesitancy.
Yeah.
You know, that same kind of like, look, I'm getting into something bigger than I thought, and I'm not really sure I want to. And she's kind of like, look, like this is bigger than that you. And yeah. So I was glad that they had that.
Yeah, I liked it too. I liked it too. But so you didn't see the Egyptians take their long walk. Okay, so let me set the scene for you.
I'm so sorry.
It's all good. So they are walking through the woods. Woods now like an autumn wood as opposed to the winter wood.
Okay.
And the kids have all gotten their matching snow gear now. I guess they went back in and got dressed rather than set the place on fire. And, John Fa says that, you know, I really thought we were going to bring Billy home. And, Ma says, he's the one who made this happen, blah, 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 blah. Actually, Lyra had said that earlier.
Right, right.
And, they're talking some more. And then John Fa holds Ma Costa's hand. Like, what? Takes her hand gently.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
I would have screamed. I would have written that in my notes.
Yeah, because Here's what I wrote in my notes. Are John Fa and Ma Casa together? Why is this not clear? Why is it a mystery? Like, I don't get it. I mean, if they're together, you know, say it.
Right.
Like, it doesn't hurt anything. It takes nothing away from anyone.
Like, I don't need a Jim and Pam scenario where it takes them like nine seasons to like get together. Like, I just either just come on. Be together, don't be together.
Exactly. And is Billy his son? Which is what we've been asking every week.
Right.
And I'm leaning towards yes now.
But don't you think he would be a little more, would he have been a little more upset that he was missing? Like, he seemed not cool about it, like cold, but he just seemed like, you know, we'll get him back, but not like that it was his son getting back.
He's the king of the Egyptians. Maybe he's got to maintain some distance. True. Maybe the Egyptians are a little freer in their lifestyles, and John may have several Billies throughout the fleet.
Like Bambi's dad.
Yes.
He's like Bambi's dad.
Yes.
Aloof, but still watching.
Exactly. Your mother can't be with you anymore, Billy.
Yes. That's almost gut-wrenching. God, help me, that movie.
Wow. Wow.
Well, now, now I'm only going to see him as like Bambi's dad. I'm sorry. Like, I ruin everything. I say stuff like that, and it's like, damn it.
So then we went to, got back on the balloon, and cliff guests.
Oh my God, did I miss the cliff
guests? You missed the cliff guests. Yeah. So you need to find the encore presentation, like, toot sweet.
Oh my God.
Because there were cliff guests, and they were actually scary. They were like bat monkeys, but white.
Oh, ew. That like pasty, weird gray white.
No, they were like, polar bear white. They had white fur.
Oh, they had fur?
Yeah. Yeah. They weren't like just skin and like pasty, like subterranean thing, like white. These were like furry white.
So not like a bat person.
No.
Like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
No, which is what I expected, but these guys were still terrifying. Ooh. And it was really well done, because they had like these rows of like tiny sharp teeth, and just, yeah, they were awful. And Lee was like popping them left and right, but, you know, to no avail, because as in the book, Lyra got knocked out of the gondola. Oh, she held on for moments. Lee's like, get her. And York's like, you've got to bring her back in. And then York said that Lee's like, York, give me your hand. And she falls.
And that's where she's like, ah! Oh my God.
And she screams like a couple of times. It's like one of those where you catch your breath halfway through the scream and then you scream again. So she's like, So she's falling for a while. And that's how the episode ends.
I cannot believe I am so lame. Well, I guess my fuses are lame.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. That is like, oh my Lord. I can't even. I apologize to everybody out there that I had zero to add to the end except probably shock and shame.
Well, it gave me the opportunity to, you know, scream like that.
Oh man.
So yeah. So that was that.
That's insane. I am picturing the cliff guests looking like, remember in the Time Machine?
Yes.
Not the newer version, not the reboot that had Guy Pearce in it, but like the original Time Machine. Myers. And they were kind of like those hairy, weird. Like that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
they were kind of like that.
Were they?
So, yeah. Oh. Except they had like flying squirrel wings. So yeah, it was
neat. Or a little bit like the gremlins in the Twilight Zone. A little bit like that too, maybe.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I was picturing.
The James William Shatner, I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Zone. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You were gonna say the James T. Kirk.
Yeah, I was.
But we all would have been like, yep, that episode, because...
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Third Rock from the Sun episode with Shatner? Where
I probably did, but oh my God, I don't remember it. I used to watch that. I love that show.
There's one where, what's his name? John Lithgow.
Oh, wait.
He picked Shatner up from the airport. Yes. And Shatner's like, he's like, how was your flight? There was a thing on my wing. Oh my God, it happened to me too.
I love that. That's excellent. Oh, that was a great show. So are you guys taking to like talking about The Watchmen now at like every end of every episode?
Yeah, we have been.
I heard you talking about it last time. Like,
do you
last
want to talk about Watchmen?
I mean, I'm not even sure what I could. I was insane. I don't even have words.
It was so good.
What the heck?
Every single week is so good.
I know. I love it. I loved. And my husband, I don't think he liked it as much as I did.
See, and Candace told me that she didn't like last week's episode.
What? And
yeah.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yes.
Huh.
I almost moved down.
I didn't,
but I was gonna. Because we had the show. So I was like, I can't move out now.
Yeah. You've got to keep your basement.
Yeah. But yeah,
I don't know.
But this week's episode, oh my God.
I know. And I love how they keep taking these things that are from the original graphic novel and they are flipping it. Yes. I love that he chose Cal's form. He chose to keep it.
Right.
Like, it's so great, but it was I loved seeing his backstory.
Yep.
It was fascinating to watch him experiencing time simultaneously. Mm-hmm. You know, it was cool to see him as he's kind of bantering with Angela, who takes nobody's
no,
and can,
like, even know, like pseudo god.
Yes,
she's like whatever,
and you know, she not that he's flustered, but he's just like, why can I not get a grip about, like, he's like, I cannot get you to just, you know. So that was crazy. I will say though that at the end of last week's episode, when like at the first like whack,
yes,
I was just like, you know,
yes.
All I kept thinking was, "Don't let the kids wake up! Don't let the kids wake up!"
Same. Because they already saw their parents like die.
Yeah.
And now they're gonna walk in and see, like, you know, Uncle Cal getting clubbed upside the head by Aunt Angie.
Yeah. So I have two questions. Number one, when he came out and he was just like, when like killing everybody with his blue wave of whatever and just like exploding their heads like Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
He killed every single person?
Every single one. Okay.
So then when the gun turns and gets him,
remote controlled.
Well, who was doing it?
From the headquarters, the empty JCPenney.
Okay.
So I'm guessing it was like Senator Keene.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Not like he was doing it because it had to happen.
I don't think so. I mean, that would be crazy if that's what happened. I mean, that would be like wild if that's what happened.
But I'm not sure why I would think that would happen, but I'm just saying, like, I was trying to think, I was like, why did it turn? Because I didn't think there was any indication that there was a remote control for it, but maybe I missed it.
Well, what's so crazy to me about that is that he's such a fatalist, is that he could have stopped that at any second.
I know.
I just, no, it's going to happen. It's what happens.
It's going to happen. It's what happens. What? Yeah. Yeah. And then my second question is, there's all this stuff with eggs.
Yes.
So, do you think somebody might eat an egg?
I think she's going to eat an egg next week.
You think she's going to eat an egg?
I think she's eating that egg next week.
Just eating an egg. Was he making those eggs when he was making the waffles? And he was like, be careful with those eggs.
He said that, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
You think that's where it, like, but yes. She broke those eggs.
She did.
I'm just curious.
But yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. She's going to eat an egg and she's going to get the Dr. Manhattan powers.
Because there was too many eggs.
For the entire series. I mean, when she's introduced, she's breaking eggs into the smiley face.
That's right. I love it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally right.
Though I saw somebody say something really, really funny about the head exploding scene is that a black superhero was making white racist heads explode.
That's perfect.
It's like, this is awesome. This show is fantastic. And did you see the post-credit scene?
No.
Yeah, there's a post-credit scene.
Oh my God. I am missing everything.
You are.
I am missing everything.
They flash to Adrian Veidt on Europa, and they're all smush, and each of the Phillips and Mrs. I'm sorry, I forgot her name, are asking him if he'll promise to stay, and he says no, and they squish a tomato in his face, and they keep doing it over and over while he's like tied up to this like thing. And then they put him in a cell, and he's reading that book that the farmer, Mrs. Clark, was reading at her farm. And I don't know if you know, but that book is written by one of the writers that he kidnapped and murdered to clone into the squid, to make the story for the squid. Yeah. So he's reading the book, and the gameskeeper brings in another one of those cakes, and this cake has a horseshoe in it, and he pulls the horseshoe out of the cake and uses it to dig his way out of the jail cell, and that's how the episode ends.
What?
Yes. Yeah.
I've got a lot of rewatching to do.
I really do. But it's so good. Like, TV is so good right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I want to read books again. I miss reading. That's why I love this podcast, because it forces me to read books.
Right.
Because all I do is watch television, and I need to get back into books.
Yeah. So, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. After we're done with all of the Pullman stuff, I want to get into some, I want us to do other books.
Oh, I would love it. Yeah. I would totally love to do that.
Okay. Maybe we could do The Expanse. That would be fun.
Oh, people couldn't see that I was making a face. It was just quiet, but I was making a face of like, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't just her like just ignoring me, as is my lot in life.
Well, all right. I think we did pretty well.
We did.
I missed Alaric, but I think we went. I think we had a pretty good one.
We did him proud.
I hope so.
I will see what I can do about getting this out as soon as possible. And thanks everybody for watching, listening, and participating in the show. Go follow us on Twitter at the Amber Spycast. Go find our YouTube channel and like, subscribe, and click the bell so you can be notified when new stuff comes out.
We have Instagram. We have Facebook.
Yes.
So we're
literally everywhere.
We are all over the place.
Exactly.
Alaric,
tired of us.
Have a Dole Whip for me. Yes. I've never had one, but I hear they're great.
They're the best. Oh.
I hope he has next one.
Next down, we're gonna get one. All right. See you, everybody.
See ya. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.